What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that.
They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Metal Shop here on The Rock. I'm talking with Ioana Sidonis from Lucifer, the mighty Lucifer. And the band originates from Berlin, Germany. Are you in Berlin right now?
No. Meanwhile, I moved to Sweden about 2.5 or 3 years ago. So Lucifer is completely Sweden-based now. Everybody in Lucifer is Swedes except me.
Oh my God, right on. So what made you want to make the jump? Did you meet the guys and decide like, hey, let's do this in Sweden? Or did you originally just say, I want to, you know, reroute?
Well, what happened was that I met my husband, Nicke, who is the drummer for Lucifer.
Yes.
And he's Swedish. So at the time, we had a little bit of a lineup change, and Nicke came into the band and joined me as my songwriting partner. And because we got romantically involved, mm-hmm. I moved to Sweden and we got married. So we're living together. And and then the people that we added to the band were all Swedes to make it more convenient, because Lucifer before that was kind of mixed of people from the UK and Berlin, and it was always logistically a little bit difficult. And I'm really happy that now everybody is actually living in the same city.
Have you fallen in love with Sweden?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm a big city girl. You know, I was born and raised in Berlin, and I lived in L.A. for 3 years, and I lived a little bit in London and so on. So I've always had this longing for nature, and we live kind of half an hour south of Stockholm in the country. There's more deers, you know, walking by the house than people, so I love it.
So you mentioned that you're now you're working musically with Nicke from Entombed, from Helicopters, incredible bands. I mean, that is quite the resume. What's it been like working, collaborating with your love interest?
Well, it's been actually awesome, because we have very similar ideas how. You know, what we prefer sonically, but also visually and concept-wise and so on. He understood right away what I wanted for Lucifer. And we tested it with one song. The first song we wrote together, I think, was Dreamer.
Yeah.
And when we exchanged that, you know, then we knew it clicked. And it's been a lot of fun working together, because we have our own studio on our property, so can go there whenever we want to and work on stuff, and there's constant ideas flowing. You know, it's really great when you get to share what you love doing best in life with your best friend and partner.
That's amazing. And for the new album, which I should mention, Lucifer 3 is available now on Century Media. Did you guys record it from your home studio?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Wow.
We produced it together in the studio. It got recorded here, and Nick mixed it. The only other place was that we sent it off for mastering.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, everything's very DIY in this household. Also, you know, like all the visual stuff for Lucifer, we do everything our own.
It's like a wow that you really don't have to outsource anything. It's you're your own team, your own musicians, and that's really cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome, and of course, it saves a lot of money too.
Of course, yes. So before we go any further, I would first just like to ask how you're doing, like with the world is kind of in a crazy place right now, and under these circumstances, I was just wondering, like, how are you staying sane and how are you staying safe, and yeah, how are you doing personally?
Well, staying safe, I mean, we live away from people, so yeah. It is also not exactly a punishment for us to put yourself into quarantine, you know, because yep. We love being, like, when we're not on the road, because I love all that rock and roll stuff, believe me, uh-huh. But when we get home, you know, it's great to not see anybody. So here at home, everything looks kind of the same, you know, we're surrounded by nature. But of course, I'm reading the news every day, and Lucifer's also affected because we had to postpone like a whole European spring tour to next year, and then all of our festival dates that we were planning to do got canceled or postponed. So we are kind of forced to stay home throughout the summer, so school's out. And I mean, it's a blessing and a curse, because of course we want to go out and play or new stuff, especially you know, but at the same time, we've had some pretty stressful summers the past few years, because it's not only touring with Lucifer, but then there's the helicopters and all Nick's other things.
Yep.
And so now we're kind of forced to be at home, and we can use the time to just be more creative, you know. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff we actually just started working on the new album, which is a little ridiculous.
Oh my God.
But with a studio at home, you know, it's like, and all the time, it's really difficult to stay away. So, yeah. So we're just pouring out stuff. And Nick is at the same time also working on his other bands, you know. So this is great. So it's a welcome time gap that we have.
It's kind of a forced. It's a forced little time to focus on that stuff, right? It's like you don't have any other excuses. There's no chance to, like, leave and focus on other things. This is being forced on you. So you might as well make the best of it, right?
Exactly. I mean, I didn't want to say it's awesome. You know, I mean, of course, this is very horrible, but I'm a believer in, you know, trying to turn something negative around and making it into something positive, or draw something from it that gives you something.
And you know, honestly, it's a hell of a time to release an album. Like, it's maybe not the most ideal situation, but I think in a few years, you guys are going to look back and be like, hey, remember when we dropped an album in the middle of a worldwide pandemic?
Yeah, Lucifer 3, the Corona album.
Oh, my God. Exactly. Oh, my God. So, let's talk about the new record. Like, so you obviously recorded it at home, and the fact that you guys are, you know, setting your own schedule, how long did you guys work on it and focus on Lucifer 3?
Well, the thing is that because we've been touring quite extensively last year, we kind of just wrote, like, when we were at home, here and there, whenever time allows it. I don't think we work very long on it.
Okay.
The thing is, you know, when we go into the studio to record, we don't do it like other bands who block, like, I don't know, you know, like a month in somebody's studio and then record the whole thing. We can, you know, we kind of did it like bit by bit whenever we weren't on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think if you count all the times together, maybe 2 weeks or something, recording it.
Yeah.
And writing here and there. Mm-hmm.
But in, like, short little bursts, not like all chunked out. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was curious about, so obviously there's no time frame, like, who knows when tours and concerts are able to jump back in to doing that. But what are a couple of the songs that you're looking forward to performing live from the new album?
I'm excited about Leather Demon and Cemetery Eyes, which are maybe not the hard rockers on the album, but I'm a sucker for, you know, melancholy balladesque songs. And those songs just touch me so much because of what they're about. So I'm excited about those. We did actually test two of the songs. We've been playing Ghosts throughout the last year and our last tour that we did before the crisis came. Yeah. We were in the southern states of the U.S. and we already played Lucifer there. And that was a lot of fun. And people seem to dig it too, because it's such a thing, you know, to play something in front of an audience that doesn't know it, you know, when it's unreleased. So, but yeah, I can't wait to do that. Hopefully the world will start turning. You know, I mean, I know that in the U.S. right now, it's very extreme. In Sweden, it's a little bit, you know, the numbers of the infected kind of go down. I know in the U.S., you're not out of the out of the worst yet, probably. But we're supposed to go out and play, I think, earliest. We have, like, some Russian dates in October, and then we have a tour in November.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not holding my breath here, you know, because anything... I mean, if it doesn't happen, then that's just how it is, you know. But I am kind of hoping that the numbers will be dropping, you know, until then. But
okay,
let's
well,
see.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's focus on something a little bit more positive now, and I want to ask you about your background. So... You said you were kind of like a city girl, and what was the first album, like, when you were a kid that made you fall in love with rock and roll and heavy metal? Do you remember?
Well, it's kind of like a longer transition. I started really young. My mom was a rock and roller.
Nice.
And there was always music at home. So she was a huge Stones fan, but there was also Deep Purple, ZZ Top, AC/DC, but then also stuff like Velvet Underground and Iggy Pop and so on. My brother was a punk, and when I was... 11, 12, I got into Guns N' Roses and Metallica and 70s stuff. But then when I was, I think, 14, 15, then the whole black and death metal and doom metal thing started.
Yeah.
So then I got really into extreme metal, and I was very, like... it was only that, you know, for a number of years until I opened up again and started digging through my parents' records and all that 70s stuff. But yeah, so my I think what impressed me most, well, one of the first albums that I bought was Master of Puppets.
Mm-hmm.
I think shows really impressed me. And the first three shows that I saw was 92 and 93. It was Guns N' Roses, Metallica, and then Danzig. And Danzig is kind of responsible for me taking the step over to the dark side.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I really loved the first three Danzig albums very much, maybe the first four. And seeing Danzig live was made a big impression on me as a kid.
Wow. Okay. So, what was watching Danzig? Is that what made you want to be a vocalist, or how did you step into that role? And were you formally trained?
I'm not formally trained. I'm totally self-taught. I just always listen to music and sing along.
Cool.
But no, what I meant with Danzig was that they were kind of metal, but they were rock and roll, but they were also satanic. And I was really into that, and that kind of drew me over to the dark side, you know.
So you guys, I mean, obviously the band name is Lucifer, and there's always been a bit of an occult element with the band. So was it, so you're saying it was Danzig that first kind of gave you a growing interest in the occult?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, black and death metal and doom metal happened and sucked me in, you know. And I started working at an esoteric bookstore after school when I was 16. And that made a big impression on me. I bought a lot of books there when I was a teenager. So I guess that's how the whole thing started, you know.
Yeah. All right on. Well, I just have a couple more questions here for you. And since we're talking about music and some, you know, formative albums in your life, I want to ask you, and I'm putting you on the spot here, so you can take your time if you need to. What are four albums that have made a distinct and positive impact on your life?
Any time of my life?
Growing up, any time.
Yeah. I think maybe one of the first things was... probably Beggar's Banquet by the Stones, because that's just kind of my mother's milk, because my mom listened so much to the Stones, so it was like the first musical imprint that was made on me. And then when I was 6 years old, my mom gave me this rock and roll compilation cassette series. And there, so I can't say it's like one album, but there was so many songs, you know, there was like a lot of Chuck Berry and Little Richard and so on. But there was one song by the Shangri-Las on their Leader of the Pack.
Yeah.
And I remember just sitting in front of my cassette player when I was six, and I kept rewinding to hear the song over and over again. Because it's, I think that's when it started, because I'm, like I said before, I'm such a sucker for dramatic and melancholic kind of songs. And that song is the very essence of drama, you know, and darkness, this teenage death thing. Don't you call those like splatters or something like that in the US? So that, and then... I think it was Danzig 3, How the Gods Kill.
Yes.
And what else? Maybe Black Sabbath.
Nice.
I mean, the thing is, you know, there has been many records that are responsible for my love for music, but these are four.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so let's pretend that we're all in safe time to like party together and stuff, and we're at a karaoke bar and we feed you a bunch of alcohol and we're all drunk. And you have to pick one karaoke song. What is the karaoke song you would pick?
Whew. You know, the funny thing is, I've been to many karaoke bars, but I've never sang.
Oh my God.
I think I always shy away because I'm a singer. So I'm like worried that people won't let me just drunk sing. You know, that they actually listen to how I sing it. I think I take Magic Man by Heart.
Nice. Yes. That's a Seattle band. So I appreciate you giving some love to a Northwest artist here. So
absolutely. I love them.
So good. Anne and Nancy are amazing.
Yes.
Okay, so just a last question here for you, Joanna. What is pick a scar on your body and tell us a story of how you got that scar.
I have a scar on my left arm. Okay, that's a little silly. That is a stage scar that happened when I was guest singing for a Swedish death metal band in 97 called Winterkrieg. And they were consisting of two members who, when Amon Amarth were unknown, those guys, Martin Manes and Martin Lopez, they then later joined Opeth. And they were in this band called Winterkrieg. And I was doing, they had a singer, a male singer, but I was doing vocals, like female vocals on like five songs or something that we recorded in Stockholm. I flew over here. That was my first gig and paid gig, you know.
Cool.
And we played a show in Stockholm, and on stage, the singer cut me with a razor blade on my arm. So that, that scar, I still have, it's not very deep, but I know where it is and I can point it out.
Damn.
So that's very silly because I was not a cutter, you know, as a teenager, but you know, we had like, I'm not going to go into it because I'm practically vegan, almost not every day. I have like one day where I eat some cheese, but we going back into that, you know, we had like pig blood on stage and stuff.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sounds like Watain.
All true and evil, you know.
Sounds like Watain show or something.
Yeah, exactly. I did it before them.
Yes, they took your stuff. All right. All right. So, Joanna, obviously from Lucifer, the new album is available now on Century Media, Lucifer 3, rather. Do you have any final words for the Seattle and Northwest audience before we let you go?
Lucifer, Christ. Well, I can't wait to come back to Seattle. I love Seattle. I think it's very beautiful because I lived in Los Angeles and I always thought I was kind of longing more to live in Northern California or Portland because it's, you know, I need the four seasons in my life being from Germany. And it's so beautiful and has a great music scene. So I can't wait to come back to Seattle. And I hope, knock on wood, that this will happen next year. To say it in Keith Richards' words, say stay.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.